Welcome to the show about looking good, disease-free. Hey, wouldn't we all like to be like that? Well, I want you to be able to have the knowledge that you can eat right, exercise right. I'll teach you all that. And it'll be all on this podcast. You can also, incidentally, look at YouTube, Rudy Cashman, K-A-C-H-M-A-N-N. Yes, believe it or not, there are about 1,000 videos on there you can gain for additional knowledge. So let's get on the road. For the first 10 minutes, I'd like to review a little bit of what we've been talking about, and then we will provide new information, which today's subject is going to be the endorphin effect, the hormones that make you feel good. Previously, we talked about my main mission really is for us to avoid type 2 diabetes. Yeah, you can look at a lot of my old previous videos and podcasts. Is that I want you to eat right. And I previously had discussed and mentioned to you, if you want to do it simply, get a hold of Susan Ryan's book called Simply Keto, K-E-T-O. She describes the first 70 pages on what keto is all about. And then the rest of her book, she has beautiful pictures of the meals she recommends, the amount of carbohydrates, protein, fat, and explains all that. If you do have type 2 diabetes or you're trying to teach a friend, if they follow that, they'll not have type 2 diabetes, a 95% chance. 3 to 4 weeks. I mean it. I've done it many times. I walk down the street here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and people come up to me and say, Dr. Cashman, you don't know me. I lost 30 pounds. My diabetes is gone. They're the ones who watch my videos and listen to my podcast. The government will not change. I've tried. I've been to the hospitals. I've been to the leaders of the government, the governor themselves. I've been a couple of times. They have been, I think, lobbied too much by industry. And it's so simple to do this. It's so simple to do this. And the previous ones, we discussed a little bit about addiction, why it is difficult to be healthy, that most of us are addicted to sugar. And that episode, you can watch that episode number 2, and it'll tell you a lot about addiction. Yeah. If you were to pull up school lunch for in Indiana, this is the same essentially in all school districts. And you look at the food, they're giving them sugary foods for breakfast. Yes. Giving them milk. You notice there's milk on everyone. But I've done 2 TV shows, 1 hour long. They're available for you on YouTube, on Milk, Whitewash by Joe Keon, and a fantastic book. I reviewed it for you, and milk is not healthy for you. You can have an allergic reaction, and some have an anaphylactic reaction. They drink the milk, and they can die on the spot. It's in the literature, but the industry has provided money or bribed, you could say, the leaders so much they will never change. You'll have to gather information yourself. And then episode number 3 is about viruses. I provide you information for that. And that's very interesting because I always ask people, you know, bacteria have a metabolic system. We have a metabolic system. What type of metabolic systems do the viruses have? What do viruses eat? And hardly anyone has the correct answer. Viruses do not have a metabolic system. They go into cells and grab the energy, which is usually sugar, and then they start multiplying and spread all over the world. So how can we prevent the next epidemic, pandemic? Pandemic going across the world. One way would be to be healthy so the viruses but have nothing to eat. The most unhealthy people are type 2 diabetics, which is the subject that I'm working on, and I want you to have the knowledge. And one way to find out is that to read books by Jason Fung, F-U-N-G, would be a very good book to read. And he explains very well, and I know this too, and I've known it for years, there are two paths to diabetes. The first one is when your blood sugar is still normal. The doctor checks your blood sugar and it's normal, and he says, you're not diabetic. Well, I would say to you, you need to get a serum insulin, I-N-S-U-L-I-N, and because the serum insulin in your blood can be elevated for 10 to 15 years before your blood sugar ever goes up. And they learned that by doing autopsies on soldiers that died in the Vietnam, Korean, and the autopsy, the Koreans, the Vietnamese, and the Americans, and they found the Americans, although they were normal weight when they entered the service, full of disease, not symptomatic, but their blood vessels had advanced vascular disease. And that was, the insulin was doing that. So that's the reason I want you to get a serum insulin test. So I think we summarized the past a little bit, but my main focus is diabetes prevention, stopping it and reversing it, and so you can live to be 100 and play pickleball with me. Incidentally, a month ago, I turned 89, no pills, nothing, have no disease, weighed 134 pounds this morning, feel great, have not eaten breakfast. I do what's called fasting, and I'm going to teach you about that a little bit, because we secrete about 5 hormones in our body that keep our blood sugar stable, and we don't need to eat breakfast. I didn't say you shouldn't do that, but learn a little bit about it. And if you listen to our podcast here, we will teach you all about fasting, and maybe that'd be a nice next episode. But let's get into episode for today, the endorphin effect. Wow. Endorphins are the elixir of life. They make us feel good. It's the feel-good hormone. And what's interesting is, what most of us do not know, that every cell in a human and animal body has receptors for endorphins. Yes, even a 1 or 2 cell animal can be affected by endorphins. That's how they are embedded in nature. So endorphins are like morphine. They are stronger than morphine. They can make you feel good. Someone smiles at you, or like in the morning, like I said, I don't take any pills except I take one pill. I take vitamin M. What's vitamin M? Music. I say, Alexa, play me some songs this morning. Then I start moving my body and singing a song or two, and I feel good. And what's making me feel good? Our endorphins. Every cell, isn't this fascinating? Every cell in our body has endorphins receptors on them. Isn't that something? So we are a feelings factory. The ability to feel your mood physically, to sense the experience, the result of biochemical changes, they're due to chemistry, that take place in your body. So we have hormones that speak to us and naturally made by your own body. Yes, they alter the biochemistry of your cells, which you then experience in how you feel. Isn't that interesting? Happiness is a complex entity. There are no shallow emotions. It touches the very roots of what is meant to have a meaningful life. And it's connected to nature. And I'll teach you about that. And you'll notice that if you walk in the woods or the forest and you look at the stars and the moon and at the animals, that, it makes you feel better. That's because this is stimulating your own endorphins. So the human body is capable of producing many of these drugs themselves. The body makes them. The particular chemicals that create the physical feeling of happiness are endorphins. Endorphins are really another name for morphine. It is possible to trigger the production of endorphins at will. Yes. Just a thought, just an image, looking at a painting, looking at a person, a friend, petting your cat or your dog, or watching a deer jump past my window at home. So it is possible to trigger the production of endorphins at will. Candace Pert, who I thank the spirit of the universe forever because I read her book. She wrote a book many years ago. So working at the National Institute of Health, I discovered how opium and morphine produce the effect. She was studying that, and she decided that these hormones were landing on receptors of the cell. And she demonstrated them. Eventually, they were demonstrated through electron microscope. They decided that our endorphins are our endogenous morphine, yes, which is stronger than regular morphine. So endorphins are made throughout the whole body. We make them ourselves. They learned that the body's nervous system, hormones, parasympathetic nervous system, sympathetic nervous system are all interlinked. So the hormones in our body and endorphins, they are all interlinked with each other. So, and this endorphin can affect your central nervous system, your pain. So if you're having a pain problem, for example, if you know how to stimulate the endorphin effect, it can be lessened. It can affect on your temperature, your vasculature. Every cell in your body has opiate receptors. It is certainly within us that we can make ourselves feel better. So Candace Pert's book, Molecules of Emotion, a book that she wrote and I read, fortunately, many years ago. And I started looking at my patients that way, too, and I realized that 70% of the people come to see me were stressed. They were stressed. They did not know about the endorphin effect. So when I saw the patients, yes, I would always say to them, what's going on in your life? I'd look at the x-rays, but it wasn't less of as obvious or something. The x-rays did not dominate my thought process. Even today, and it will never change because the money is in fixing what it says in the x-ray, but a lot of the things you see in the x-ray are things related to your life, getting a day older. I have no neck pain, but if you were to take an x-ray of my neck, there'd be a lot of changes. Now, if I walked in to see a doctor and he looked at that and he said, oh, we got to operate that, versus saying, Rudy, how is your day going? Well, I play pickleball 3 days a week. I do TV shows. I take vitamin M in the morning. I think maybe they'd say, you know, Rudy, you don't need surgery. So external stimuli perceived as pleasure, if you see something like a painting or an animal or a dog jumps on your lap, that can cause immediate trigger of endorphins, pleasure. You'll feel better. So the unconscious mind, the psycho-immunological system, cannot tell the difference between what is real or imagined. If you're just imagining a wonderful thing that might happen, it'll cause secretion of your endorphins and you'll feel better. It doesn't have to be real. It could be imaginary. So you need to develop in your life maybe a list of things that you can quickly switch to that if something bad is happening. And so your body has to be in harmony with all these hormones. So a sense of pleasure or enjoyment is fundamental to good feeling. Called a pleasurable produces a pleasurable thought produces endorphins. An example, the story of Norman Cousins, you may have heard of him. He wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness. You can get it on Amazon. And he had ankylosing spondylitis. He had no cartilages between the vertebra, and he had a very stiff spine and was in terrible pain, But he did something about it. And the thing that he would do, which is funny, this is, put this on your list, to create the endorphin, the feel-good hormone, for 10 minutes, he would watch funny movies for about 10 minutes. But he had no pain for 2 hours because a lot of the movies produced laughter and resulted in increased endorphins in his body. He was pain-free. And he traveled all over the world, and he learned more about it. Interesting, very interesting book to read. So what else can do that in your life? Doing yoga, tai chi, qigong. The Indians figure out there was this feeling in the universe. Remember I talked about that endorphins are connected to nature, the stars, the sun, and the moon. India, they figures out, they call it the prana. That made you feel good. And this is being, this going back thousands of years. Yeah. The Chinese call it the qi. So nature hikes produce endorphins as well as connected to the universe, the sun, the stars, the Milky Way. When I was a busy full-time neurosurgeon writing books, and I get up at 5 a.m. and watch the animals and the birds and the deer and the geese and the ducks, and I was feeding them all. They would even, they would even tap on my window and say, "Where's my food? Where's my food?" And then I'd take a walk around the lake, and I'd look at the stars, and the birds would follow me and sing songs at me, and I would sing back at them. And then I'd look at the trees, but she see my, and I'd listen to the butterflies flying around me. So I was creating, these were all creating endorphins in my life. By the time I finished my walk around my lake, I did it every day. I would really feel good and relaxed because I practiced neurosurgery, you know, 12 hours a day. So, and faced very stressful situations, life and death and things I had to talk about and act about. So this energy is throughout the universe. So they have discovered that there are quantum fields. The universe is filled with energy, and there's more energy than matter. And this was studied by Einstein. He even made a physical formula out of it. E, energy, equals mass squared. In other words, what he was really saying is that mass objects represent a certain amount of energy, yes. But if you could be looking through the universe, there's a lot of space between masses, the stars and the moons, and that space represented energy, yes. So matter is but a dribble in the field of energy. And what you're seeing, something solid is represents energy, but the space around it is full of energy too. So, and when you think about it and you look at the universe and the Milky Way, and it, is that there's more space than solid matter. But space is energy. Isn't that interesting? Classical contrast between solid particles and space around them is completely the quantum field. That's the whole field. It is seen as everywhere in the universe. Particles are just condensations of the field, concentrations of energy that come from dissolving the solid object. So I think you begin to stand a little bit about the energy fields around us, and other countries figure it out. So it's known as Ayurveda medicine. India and China, they call it the qi. So some people understood it thousands of years ago. So endorphins, we spoke about our own morphine experience as bliss, runs through all nature and the universe. We're just part of it. Isn't that interesting. Children, for example, they're less stressed. They don't know what threats are, and they are full of endorphins. But unless they're living in a difficult home and with their parents maybe abusing them or having arguments all the time, if the child is still in the uterus, he can hear what the mother is doing. He can experience what she's eating, whether it's alcohol or narcotics. So stress affects us, our endorphins, a great deal. So when the body is tense and frozen, the production of endorphins is blocked. So I'm trying to teach you how to positive endorphin effect so that you are not stressed. Endorphins are flowing freely. So meditation is one way to increase your endorphins. When endorphins are released, where you sit there quietly and try not to think too much or think of something positive. You may be looking at paintings. You may be thinking of loved ones. A pet might be on your lap. Remember what I said about animals. Animals produce endorphins too. When my cat jumps on my lap, I immediately feel better. Endorphins are secreted by me, but also by the cat. So a pleasurable event melts body tension, releases off, I call them strawberries, feel good activities, which can be close your eyes and soften your eyes. Maybe think of something pleasurable. Maybe think of a place you'd been, traveled, or a ball game you won, or a shot you hit. Hugging a cat or a dog or a child or a spouse can cause a positive flow of endorphins. And so it can be listening to music. I went to a concert yesterday where they played very happy music. And although I felt tired and worn out when I went, I left. I didn't even feel like going to sleep. So I think my endorphins were flying high. So we develop, as time goes on, because we lead different lives, we develop bioenergetic armor. Now, as we are surrounded and they keep feelings from touching us because the armor is stressing us and we have to get it away from our body to feel better. So remember, your body is your true environment. How to wake up, fall asleep. A good habit would be lying in bed and bring your attention into your body. Think of your toes, think of your fingers, and think of them and see, are they relaxed? Is there any part of your body that is tense? Then touch it. And maybe think of the sunshine that's coming or the stars above, no matter where you're living. So stay comfortable in bed. Allow your body to realize where you are on Earth, surrounded by nature. All around is the universe. I try to think of my walk around the pond. So turn your attention into the body again, then stretch as much as comfortable for you. So this morning, begin to get up. Maybe then take vitamin M. That'll secrete endorphins. So remember that your body is connected to nature. Pythagoras spoke of the planets and the stars that were connected to them. People understand the power of a large tree. I, for example, when I took my walks, would hug a tree. I would look at it. I'd look at the size of it and realize how old that it was, or just sit below the tree. And I could feel the endorphins increasing in my body. Looking at a tree and its power made me feel better. So all of this is that we live in a cosmos filled with songs, vibrations beyond those of human culture. Endorphin effect, we are feeling that stardust is coming down and we're connected to the whole atmosphere. We feel better. We're participating in a great dance of life that flows through your infinity of the universe. Our tiniest cells respond with the production of endorphins. Yes. Our bodies are living in the laze and opiate pleasure. Know your strawberries. Make a list, things that make you feel good. Places that you've been, people that you've met, pets and animals you have, and I've had plenty of them, and peak experiences you've had, something that you've won, or think of a religious figure that means something to you. So, and also use your senses, your texture, your taste, your sound, the colors. Certain colors certainly increase my endorphins better, and I always wore colorful clothes because I think it must increase the endorphins of other people. And I wore colorful clothes last night to the music event I went to, Health Hall of 89. Two different girls walked by and complimented my clothes. So endorphin effect, perhaps. A smile, soft eyes, some music. I have pictures on my wall at my house of Fred Astaire event I went to one time. It makes me feel good. Obviously, my endorphins are secreting. So the endorphin effect is an altar. Worship the splendor. Develop a list of what are called strawberries to make you feel good. And endorphins really are the elixir of life. Appreciate you listening to me. And I will do another episode in about 2 weeks. And you can go back and listen to previous shows. What I'm creating is a healthy you, and you will know how to do it. And you'll be taking vitamin M and play pickleball. I walk down the street with a smile on my face. I have soft eyes, and I've memorized a few songs to make me feel good. Thank you for listening.